I wrote a message for tonight, but I wasn't sure whether I'd get to preach it. I quite like that. And what I wrote was, well, this morning I did You're in a Spiritual Fight. If you were here this morning, I talked about we're in a spiritual fight. And we like to think more naturally than we do like to speak spiritually. And we don't always understand what's going in this happening in the spiritual realm, but they are interweaving all the time. Natural and spiritual. But tonight I wanted to talk on the spirit of a fighter, because I believe we're called to fight. How many people like fights? How many people like fighting with their spouse? Yeah, don't put your hand up. How many people like watching boxing? No. How many like a good game of sport? It's a fight. I like fighting. In fact, I enjoy fighting. I don't know what it is, but I quite like watching MMA. I think that's quite cool. And I see you go, ooh, that's not Christian. Oh, well. Do you know why? Because it's like a battle that you watch on, you read the Bible. There's some pretty gruesome battles going on. I like a good gunfight. I like a good Western. But here's the thing, if you want to have a spirit of a fighter, you've got to first thing you've got to work out is, what are you fighting for? Who are you fighting? And in Galatians 5:17, it says this: the old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite to what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. And your choices are never free from this conflict. See, you're fighting your own thinking, your own sinful nature, your old way of doing things. It's a fight. But the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires. So when you get saved, God makes you a new creation. Changes you on the inside, but you've still got your old nature. They use the term your old man or your old woman, your old flesh, who you are, and you've got to fight that. And the only way you can fight that is to become more spiritually minded than naturally minded. So that's one of the fights that you're fighting. Who are you fighting? And the other one we're fighting is in 2 Corinthians 2:10. It says, if you forgive anyone, I also forgive you. And what I have forgiven, if there is anything to forgive, I've forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. Now, I don't know what your view is of the spiritual, but I definitely feel there is an evil opposition trying to stop you. What's he trying to stop you from? Well, he's trying to stop you from having victory. He's definitely trying to stop you from having an effect on other people. So there's a spiritual fight going on all the time. Do you know one of the biggest fights is to rule your tongue in what you say? He's fighting to get you to say things that are negative. He's fighting to you to say things against people. He's fighting for you to basically go against God. He wants you to have a worldly thinking, and so he wants you to speak worldly. He's an enemy that roars around like a lion. In Ephesians 6:10, a final word, be strong in the Lord's mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies and tricks of the devil. For we're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against rulers, evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in heavenly realms. And I've got time to go into all those, but I'm convinced the enemy's trying to affect the way you think and trying to affect what you do. So we've got a war. So who are we fighting? We've got a fight on. What are you fighting for? So you've got who you're fighting for, but what are you fighting for? Have you got a purpose in what you're fighting for? I think one of the main things we're fighting for is our own freedom. Because the enemy forever wants you to be chained. He wants to stop you being free. He wants you to feel condemned. He wants you to feel guilty. He wants you to feel unforgiven. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." He wants you to lose heart. He wants to take your freedom. I think we fight things like a poverty spirit. We fight things like not taking over the things that God's given us. The enemy gives you something and then he tries to take it back from you. But one of the main things we're fighting for is the freedom of others. It's not just about me being free. It's that I want everybody else to be free. And so we're fighting for the freedom of others. Freedom from sin. The enemy has blinded people's eyes so they can't see. He doesn't want them free. Salvation is a battle. You know, one of my prayers this year is, God, please give me the pleasure of leading someone to Jesus. Because it's a battle. And without Jesus, they have no hope of eternity. Without Jesus, their eternity is lost. You and I, without Jesus, have nothing. So how do you fight? You fight with a sword. We fight with faith. Fight the fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight for what we believe." Fight for what we believe. Fight for what you believe in the Spirit. Hold tightly to the eternal life that God has given you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. So we're fighting a spiritual battle, we're fighting a mental battle in the what we think. And I don't know about you, I think that's a constant battle. What I think. Do I think what God thinks about the situation, or do I think what I think about the situation? All the time it's a battle in my mind. Do I think I can do it, or can I not do it? Do I think God's with me or not with me? Do I think God can heal someone or not? It's a battle in your thinking. All the time. So fight the good fight for what we believe. Hold tightly to the eternal life God has given you. To fight, I feel you've got to be aggressive. If you go into a fight sort of passive, nothing's going to happen. You're going to get taken. Taken. I don't know whether that's quite taken. If you go into a tackle half-hearted, you come out second best. You get smashed. The only way to go into a battle is to go full on. You know, and sometimes I feel as Christians we're so blasé about things. You know, some of you, God's given you some promises and you're just waiting for them to happen. But look, they don't just wait to happen. You've got to go after them. Stop complaining and go after them. In Matthew 11:12, it says, "And from this time," or from the time of John the Baptist, "began preaching and baptizing until now, the kingdom of heaven has forcefully been advancing and violent people attack it." There is a violence, there is an aggression that you need in your Christian walk. We don't get aggressive with people. Your problem isn't people. People aren't a problem. You go, yes, they are. No, people aren't the problem. The spiritual things are the problem. You know, I was thinking about, as a Christian, am I influenced by Satan or not? I was thinking about that. And when I was thinking about it, I came to this conclusion that Peter has this amazing revelation that says, you know, Jesus asks, who am I? And he goes, oh, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, the Spirit has revealed that to you. It's given you that revelation. So Peter's feeling pretty good. And so Jesus starts talking about what's going to happen to him. And the next minute, Peter's saying to Jesus, no, that's not going to happen. And is getting him aside and saying, no, you're not going to go to the cross. You're not going to die. That's not the way it is. And in a moment, Jesus now says to him, get behind me, Satan. So what happened? He was influenced. He was influenced in his thinking. He began to think the way of the world instead of the way of God. And that happens to you and me all the time. We stop thinking faith. We stop thinking that God's for us. We stop thinking the way God wants us. And we start thinking, oh, we're gonna get in trouble. I don't know about you. Sometimes situations, they just grab you and you start feeling fearful about them. That's not God. That's a spirit trying to make you go negative, trying to put a weight on you, trying to slow you down. And you've got to take every thought captive and bring it back to the knowledge of God. What's that? It's bring it back to the truth. Mark 8 says, then he called his disciples and the crowds to come over and listen. And he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, he told them, you must put aside your selfish ambition and shoulder your cross to follow me. The spirit of a fighter is that they're prepared to sacrifice. Self-sacrifice. They're prepared to put themselves on the line. They're prepared to take a risk that they might come out pretty smashed. But they know that they're not fighting for themselves. They're fighting for a good cause, for a purpose. You know, a lot of our heroes that we watch in movies are the ones that put themselves in the line of fire. Why is that? Because they're self-sacrificing. It's the highest calling of love, to I give my life, which is why we honor Jesus and we love Jesus, because he gave his life for us. He self-sacrificed. And now he says, well, what will you sacrifice in your fight? Are you prepared to self-sacrifice? The third thing about the spirit of a fighter is it doesn't give up. You don't give up. It gets back up. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. This is Paul. And if you've read about Paul, you know that he was whipped. He was shipwrecked. He was whipped a few times. And he'd still get back up and come back out. He said, we are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. Through suffering, these bodies of ours constantly share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus so that the life of Jesus will be obvious in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but it has resulted in eternal life for you. Paul was saying, hey, what I went through meant that you got eternal life, which is the Corinthian church. But also what he went through, we get a benefit from. We've benefited from it. So here's some perseverance quotes. A person is not finished when they're defeated. They are finished when they decide to quit. You may have to fight a battle more than once in order to win. You know, there's a whole lot of battles going on. And now and again, you lose a battle. But it doesn't mean you've lost the war. You've got to get back up and fight again. If you want more things in life to go your way, then you have to go after them. Failure is not when you fall down. It's only when you don't get up again. Is that true? When you come to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. That was Franklin Roosevelt said that. When you come to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Japanese proverb, fall seven times, stand up eight. Fall seven times, stand up eight. If one's dream shall fall and break into a thousand pieces, never be afraid to pick up one of those pieces and begin again. Perseverance is hard work you do after you're tired of doing the hard work you've already done. The race is not always to the swift, but to those who keep on running. This was Albert Einstein. It's not that I'm so smart, it's just that I stay with problems longer. When your dreams turn to dust, vacuum. Success seems to be largely a matter of hanging on after others have let go. It's a mistake to suppose that people succeed through success. They often succeed through failures. What counts is not necessarily the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. I actually don't agree with that one. I once watched this little chihuahua take on a rockwheeler. And the owner suddenly in horror, this little chihuahua went for this rockwheeler. And I'm going, oh. And the owner just picked up the little chihuahua just as the rockwheeler got it in his mouth. And it took them half an hour to get the little chihuahua out of there. So I know that was a bit of useless information for you all. But I don't agree with that one there, okay? Become a possibilitarian. No matter how dark things seem to be or actually are, raise your sights and see possibilities. Always see them, for they are always there. Physical strength is measured by what we can carry, spiritual by what we can bear. Let me say, my wife wants me to say that again. That's good. Okay. Physical strength is measured by what we can carry, spiritual by what we can bear. So let me go back to 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We are knocked down, but we get up again and we keep going. Through suffering, these bodies of ours constantly share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger. We don't really live under constant danger, but we're constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be obvious in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but it has resulted in eternal life for you. Let me just read you this. This is about a man named John Stephen I don't know how to pronounce his last name. So in the Olympic Games in Mexico in 1968, the marathon is the final event on the program. The Olympic Stadium is packed. There is excitement as the first athlete, an Ethiopian runner, enters the stadium. The crowd erupts as he crosses and finishes the line. Way back in the field is another runner, John Stephen, whatever his last name is, of Tanzania. He has been eclipsed by the other runners. After 30 Ks, his head is throbbing, his muscles are aching, and he falls to the ground. He has serious leg injuries, and the officials want him to retire, but he refuses. With his knee bandaged, he picks himself up and hobbles the remaining 12 kilometers to the finish line. An hour after the winner has finished, he enters the stadium. All but a few thousand of the crowd have gone home. He moves around the track at a painstakingly slow pace until finally he collapses over the finish line. It is one of the most heroic efforts of the Olympic history. Afterwards, asked by a reporter why he had not dropped out, he said, "My country did not send me to start the race. They sent me to finish the race." How are you going to finish your race? It's all very well that we started, but it's all about how we finish and that we keep going until the finish. You know, some of you have underestimated the enemy. You've thought you could just walk through the Christian walk and it'll all work out. And you've been surprised, maybe. No, you've got to fight for the things you want in God. Some of us have forgotten what we're fighting for. You've taken your eye off the goal. You've started fighting for the wrong things. Some of you have rushed into the battle ill-equipped and you've had your butt kicked. You need to prepare to fight. You need to prepare to fight a bit more. Some of you have given up and stopped fighting for the dreams God's given you, the promises God laid on your heart, and you need to start fighting for them again. You need to start praying for them. We're coming into a time of prayer fasting. For me, that's about fighting for some things in the spirit that I want to see happen in the natural. Fighting for them. Some of you don't realize that you're already in a fight, and it's a fight for your eternal destiny. God sent his son to rescue you so that you could have a relationship with you. And it's all about your spiritual destiny. In fact, there's some here and you haven't yet made a decision to follow Jesus. And you're fighting with yourself. And I really want us to just pray that God will help you to make the decision to get over the line. Because God loves you. Jesus is the only answer. Jesus is the only way to God. He's the only way to eternal life. And you need to make that decision. No one can make it for you. I can't make it for you. Your friend can't make it. You've got to make that decision.